You're still welcome to speak up and state your intentions if you don't mind being online. I'm sure more people will be joining in as we go along, but for right now, it feels like it's time to begin. So I can try leaving the lines open, and if you feel like you have a lot of noise in the background, feel free to mute it, or if you feel like, No, I think I'm actually getting that I should mute the lines because people can hear better. Is that true? Any feedback?
Indifference.
Indifference. Got it. Okay. All right, I'm going to leave them open. And then you guys tell me if the connection's not good. Analita especially, and in which case then I will mute everybody and then you can do star 6 to unmute yourself if you feel like something is being called to be expressed from you or through you. Because I'm facilitating this session, but we're all here and we're all part of this group session, so it's intuitive guidance just being flowed through me and through all of you. So I need to share with everybody, I was talking to Rhonda before everybody got on board, and just before the call, I started feeling, and as an empath, and as most of you probably are as well, I started feeling this energy, this anxiety, and it's funny because, like I said, I usually do this with several people, but I know that the anxiety was not coming from the fact that I'm facilitating this myself, because I've done it a zillion times before. But what I was feeling was the anxiety coming in through the group. This and it feels like this heavy, fearful dynamic of, I want to go into the definition of a fear that I talked about with Rhonda, but we're not going to do that right now. It just feels like this heavy anxiety over desire, just really, really, really wanting to step into your strengths. All of us want to step into our strengths, and all of us want to step into our places of power from a place of being empowered, not from a place of dominance. And wanting to step into roles that support and nurture ourselves and our own souls as well as those around us. And with that, I think I'm going to share, you know, I think that this came through in several people's requests, and I'm going to share it because it was part of mine. I've had a realization recently, actually I've had this realization for a long time, that I'm kind of the person that is like the go-to person. And what I realized today was, and I've realized this before, but it went deeper, around root. And actually Norman and I were talking about this, and the root is what was lacking. So it's about working with people's root, and actually that's part of what we need to do today, actually to work on people's root. Less about needing to balance people's hearts. It's more about anchoring it, about pulling the heart, pulling the love down through into the root and anchoring it into the planet, because right now everybody is running in such fight flight. And part of that, The image that I get is weak roots. Weak roots. We're all kind of heart and above, so we're all kind of looking to shine and not feeling rooted in that shining. And part of that comes from our own history, from our own ancestry, from our culture, from the dynamics going on in the world. We're in a rapid rate of change on the planet right now, and that is not going to change for a while, but what can change is your ability to be in that flow and not get knocked over continually and not getting banged against the rocks continually. Which brings me to the expression of fear, and what I was saying to Rhonda earlier, well, I've recently come to the understanding of fear. Fear is not the enemy. Fear is our ally. Fear is an emotion that is the precursor to our intuition, and if we pay attention to it, it's been described by Carla McLaren as the energy, like if a deer runs out in front of your car, it's the energy that actually allows you to swerve and take the action, take the appropriate action that is going to help you miss the deer and come safe on the other side. And then what happens is we as humans, animals, shake it off. they go through this fearful moment, and then once the fear is gone, they shake it off, and then they go about their business. But humans, we go to the other side of almost hitting something, and we're wrapped in the story. We create this big drama about it, so we get stuck in our head, and then we call that fear, and that's not fear. That's the overexpression, the overindulgence of the story that's just wrapped into the emotion of fear and causing all kinds of anxiety and upset. So what I want to do is help realign everybody with their emotions, with their roots. And fear is the emotion of the root. And that's because it's coming again from fight, flight, survival mode. And if our roots are not solidly connected, then we are definitely running around chaos and getting caught up in the chaos. And then many of us, how many on the line have had the situations where they're all calm, they've done meditation, or we've gone for a dance, or we've gone to the beach, or we've gone to the mountains, and we're all calm and all collected, and then we happen to run into an old friend or somebody who's just had experienced a death or is going through some sort of craziness in their life, and all of a sudden we go, and we pretty much swallow our center. And that's actually a good metaphor and a good analogy for that, swallowing our center, because it feels like what we do instead of staying in our center and instead of keeping our fields expanded, we contract because we are either afraid we're going to get tainted by their chaos and their pain, or we contract because we want to make room for their chaos or their pain. So, everybody breathe into that, because what I want to do is help root everybody today, help ground you, get you connected to the earth, and help you be able to breathe into that root and be able to flow the energy from the root all the way up through the source and back down through the root. So it's like a continual open channel where you're not exhausting and using up your energy and your creative flow. You are instead rooted and grounded and yet connected at source as well. So you are being a clear vessel and allowing source, inspiration, God, whatever you want to call it, to flow through you. And that does not exhaust you. That does not exhaust any of us. When we are an open vessel, we get energized. So it's about opening up those channels, actually opening up all the channels, starting with the root, and actually needing to do a little bit of digging underneath the root to kind of pull out some weeds, some belief systems that are about struggle and about pain and about needing to play small, because if I shine too brightly, then I'm going to somehow cause pain to somebody else who's having a hard time, when it's exactly the opposite. When you make yourself small and when you make yourself invisible, then all you do is give more room for pain. So, let's take a minute and breathe all that in. And now we're going to go into how many people on the call have challenges with receiving. It's really easy to give of yourself. And there's a strong desire to give of yourself. But when it comes to actually somebody giving to you, you say, oh, no, I'm okay.
I can relate to that for sure.
I thought so. I thought most of us could. So, yeah, feel free to speak up if you can. Because it's really, I'm okay. You know, I don't need anything. You keep it all because you need it. And that...
Or there's receiving up to a point. Like, I can accept certain amount of help, but then after that, there's like, a point where there's, like, no, or what are the strings attached to it, or...
Trust.
Yeah. So sometimes there is like that trust issue, or what expectations or what agreement does that other person think is attached to it that you may or may not have agreed to, because this one time you said, okay, that's fine. So, yeah.
Got it. Thanks, Deb. That's beautiful, because that's all about boundaries, and that's about clarity. And that's actually part of what I was just talking about with the fear and going into contract mode. If we contract our field, our space, if we can't stand clearly in our space and just let our fields, and I say our fields by our auras and by the energies that we swim in, basically, and we all have fields that we swim in, and then yet we're also part of this collective field. If we can't allow our fields to overlap without feeling like somehow we're going to be compromised, then it's because we set up a pattern or a habit from our past, from our history, from our ancestors, from a past life, from some other dynamic that may either need to be resolved, or maybe we've done so much work around resolving all of that, maybe we just need to step into the clarity of it's not only okay to maintain an open, a wide open space and a wide open field, but you're not squeezing anybody out in that regard. It's only magnifying and enhancing the energy of everybody else you come in contact with. And if we can keep clear in our own personal integrity, then we can just simply give back to the other person what they may be trying to project onto us, or what we may be trying to project onto them. From a psychic energy perspective, there was a psychic defense book I read once. I only read one line out of it, and that was the only line I needed. And it said, we are never attacked from the outside. And everybody take that in. We're never attacked from the outside. We always invite our attacker in somehow. And that doesn't mean that's not the same thing as saying, oh, you were raped, you're guilty for that. It's not that at all. It's from an energetic perspective. There is something that resonates with us with that attack. And until we become aware of it, it still plays behind the scenes and in our lives to undermine our ability to step into our power. And the beauty of that is when we become aware, it's not about that's not a punishment, that's not a challenge, that's not even an issue, it's a gift. And it's a gift because it comes to us to say, hey, see what's going on here? See what you're doing? And it's not about making us wrong, it's about showing us, hey, if I'm the one doing this, then I can change it. If I'm not the one doing it, then I'm a victim somehow. That means somebody else has power or control over me, and that is never the case. There might be circumstances out beyond your control, but you are never a victim to those circumstances. It just depends on what you choose to focus on with those circumstances. So with that, I want to go through everybody's field right now and just kind of clean up. It looks like I see some like sludge in the energy fields of many of us as the collective group. For multiple reasons. I just saw a video today while I'm doing this. I'll just talk. Sounds like I'm rambling, but I am, but it's all part of the work. I saw a video today of a guy basically talking about this, and he said it so brilliantly. He was in Colorado and where the mudslides and the flash floods came, and he was talking about this exact same thing. He was talking about staying in your space, standing you in your space solidly and in your presence, and owning it. And owning it with the awareness of we're part of a greater picture, and there's a lot we can't understand through our left brain or conscious thinking. But there's a lot that we can intuit, and there's a lot more that we understand than we actually realize when we take the moments to listen. And it's listening to that subtle whisper instead of waiting until it screams at us and knocks us down, causes a car accident, puts us in relationship with somebody who's abusive, if we listen to those subtle whispers, it will take care of it. I'm going to share an example of that from my own history, and that is my last marriage, the one that I left to move to Florida for. It was hysterical. It's hysterical in retrospect. It wasn't hysterical at the time, but it's hysterical now because I remember we were getting married in our living room, and we had friends there, and our neighbor was marrying us, and I remembered him saying, "Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?" And I remember in my head screaming, "No! No! No!" And I remembered saying, "Yes." Because everybody was there, and I couldn't disappoint them, and I didn't listen. I was doing it all for the wrong reasons. And because of that, it failed. So, and with that in mind, I'm not saying that I believe there is such a thing as mistakes. There aren't. I do believe that everything happens for a reason, and yet I use that example simply to show you. How many times have you guys had this little voice either whispered or screamed, and you ignored it? And that's what I want to speak with now, and that's what I want to bring to the forefront. I want to bring that your souls to the forefront. It's very important right now. You know, the way of the world, one of the people, I don't think Susan would mind, Susan from Hawaii, she basically said, you know, she's getting caught up in the fear around the government dynamic. And that is interesting because what just happened is I felt that fear so big, so hugely that it just blocked. And what it showed up as was a block. It's like we allow external circumstances, things like quote unquote the government. Yes, the government is the government, but we can't focus on the craziness, the crazy making that's going on there. You can only do what you can do and take action from that place of power. It's not empowering at all to get caught up in the melodrama and to get caught into the fearful mindset. And quite frankly, I used to be in the mindset of the government was quote-unquote evil. I don't believe that. I believe that they're in fear mode too, and I believe that they're working out of quote-unquote good intentions, but their good intentions got misplaced somehow, and they're confused about what good intentions are. And so with that, I can just trust, step into this place of power and not allow myself to be pulled in. That said, I see it right now. It looks like a big block. It feels like this big concrete pillar, almost like this monolithic shape that feels so restrictive, so powerless. What I'm feeling is the energy of this monolithic shape, this massive thing in front of us all that is obscuring our view, obscuring our listening, obscuring our abilities for fear of doing something wrong and somehow being punished, that often we take evasive actions by doing what we intuitively know is not right, but outwardly our hearing is right. Or we just stop doing anything and get overwhelmed or depressed. So I need to breathe into that and see what's going to come out to help remove that monolith, that block. It's very, very solid, very, very rigid, very, very obscuring. So when I did that, the word faith popped up. The word faith. And the word faith kind of partners well with trust. And the trust, here's part of what I'm seeing. Part of the reason that we don't trust is because we too often have not listened to our inner guidance. And so every time we tell ourselves a little weight lie, okay, I won't do this. I'm going to do this, and then we don't. Or I won't do this, and then we do. It seems like a little white lie, but every time we do that, it's like a rip or a tear in the fabric of our soul. It's like, and then it just keeps, every time we do that, the tear gets bigger. And there's a lot of sadness that's blocking the soul. And as I say blocking, I'm being corrected. It's not blocking. It's showing up now to open up the windows, open up the doors, breathe in some fresh air, get the rivers flowing, get the water flowing, get the movement flowing so that we're not stuck in that overwhelm or in those misguided intentions at doing good for someone else at our own expense. And here's the message and the metaphor that's showing up for that. Every time we do something at our own expense, for someone else, it's like what we give is a little tainted, a little bit impure. So yes, it does some good, but there's some strings attached, and that's where we get all blurry. There's some muddiness attached. So with that, we're going to call on the elements, fire, earth, metal, water, wood, and they're going to come through much like a whirlpool, or just like well, in body talk, we call it the Parama Mandala, but much like a whirlpool, just all of the, or a paint wheel. Imagine it like a paint wheel. The elements all coming through and coming through to kind of just clean out, open up our channels, and paint more vibrancy in our hearts, paint more vibrancy in our lives. And actually, I love it because I know there are several artists online now, because I'm seeing like a paintbrush just coming through and painting a connection between the heart and the brain, between the brains, not just the right and left, but the somatic brain and the spinal nerves, all of it, just connecting, and painting connections between the brain and between the heart. With that, I need to pause and take a drink. If anybody needs to say anything, feel free. In fact, I would highly recommend everybody take a drink, because that just got downloaded for all of us, and the water is going to help get it through the cells. Okay. So now, I love it, because what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing is I'm seeing all of this support. Ah, that's what I was talking about too, with the root. It's like many of us are so used to giving support, we're not allowing ourselves to receive it. So there is a sense of vulnerability that we've been lacking. And that vulnerability comes out of our lack of trust, that either somebody's got an ulterior motive and we can't trust ourselves enough to know that we're not going to do something that's against our own higher good, or that somehow maybe we have a belief in a higher God or a higher source, and yet we somehow believe it works for everybody but us. that's tapping into all of our cultures around the world and all of our media, things like our love songs and our, you know, our blues. It's our history. It's our ancestors. And we're working with our ancestors right now, and I love this because I just came from Family Constellations, and I called in everybody's ancestors and guides and angels, and it's massive. It's massive. And the ancestors are here to say, live. Live. Don't repeat our mistakes. Don't believe the lies that come to you from outside of yourself. And don't believe the lies that you create within. Always check back in with that small, still inner voice or that sense, that felt sense that knows this is right. With that, we're going to balance everybody's senses. And we're balancing the senses of sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. And when we do this, we're balancing these senses in a way that help clarify so that experiences, when you experience something, when somebody says something to you or when you have an experience or situation, that you see it more clearly. We're pulling away some of the filters that cause us to block. So tonight, it feels like there's a whole lot about rooting and clearing everybody and helping to remove the blocks. Helping us to step up and support one another and helping us to allow ourselves to be supported. And here's another mistake that we've taken on. At the cellular level, at the human level, we've taken on this mistake that we can only receive support, at least most of us, that we can only receive support if we're sick or if we're weak. So we go until finally we can go no more and the body says, okay, I'll break down for you so you can rest. Okay, I'll break down for you so you actually let somebody do something for you. That's not how we're meant to interact. We're very much meant to interact as divine beings, as these amazing, miraculous creatures, albeit we're very young as a species, but these amazing, miraculous creatures that are limitless, and we tap into our senses. This is the beauty of our senses. So it's like we tap into our senses so we can experience this reality. And yet sometimes the senses are the very things that get into our way because they tell us this is what's real. And if I can't sense something beyond this, then this is all there is. Our inner senses, our subtle senses, are the sixth sense. That inner knowing, that inner ability that knows, hey, I'm on the right path. And yes, it may feel uncomfortable. I may feel very awkward, because a lot of times we're going to feel very awkward when we're stepping out of our comfort zone, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's awkward and it's new. But I want to reconnect us back to our hearts. And we're pulling in, there's like this sacred geometry geode being offered for everybody's heart. It's really beautiful. It's like this just beautiful shining gem to open up the channels and shine the light. Kind of reminds me of, not quite, but a little bit like ET shows up. So it's like tapping into being a beacon. And not being afraid to shine our light. And here's the thing, though. But we also want to tap into discernment. Another mistake we sometimes make is we shine our light really brightly everywhere we go. But we don't discern to to what degree we do it with the people we're with. And we misunderstand that as we either overwhelm people by shining our lights because we think, okay, I have to be totally open, so I have to be totally bright, and I have to shine everywhere I go. And if we do that, then we overwhelm a lot of people who aren't in a space to receive that. So what when I say we shine our hearts and we shine our lights, it's like to kind of give everybody this gauge or this meter that kind of says, it's a connection. It's a connecting to everybody and everything we meet. It's an awareness tool that says, I can open up my heart wide open with this person and in this situation, and all that's going to happen is we're going to just radiate this amazing, brilliant wave of love throughout the universe. And then maybe we encounter somebody who's having a hard time, and it's not about shrinking our field, but it's about not overwhelming them. So it's about respecting people where they are. It's about being our authentic selves and respecting people where they are. And that means not imposing our wills on them, not imposing our belief systems, not even imposing our joys on them. Everybody has the right to their own feelings, to their own emotions. And every time we try to take that away from somebody, we do ourselves and them a disservice. So with that, I see light like a rainbow. Rainbow frequencies just kind of coming in. Taking me to, okay, so we started with the roots. Now we're at the pelvic region and the abdomen and working there and the solar plexus. So it's about connecting that root up through the chakras, and that discernment is necessary in the abdomen, that guidance that says, go this way, no, go that way, yes. Fill my guts to this person. Oh, that's the appropriate word. Spill my guts to this person. Yes. Spill my guts to this person. Maybe not entirely. So it's about discerning, not withholding, discerning, and listening from that higher guidance, that intuitive knowing. The sense of taste is showing up now. And sense of taste, it feels like there's an excess bitterness in a sense of taste, and that's coming from the world. And as a collective, we've taken on this bile, this anger, this disdain and this judgment over the way the world works or doesn't. And it's caused an excess in bile, an excess in bitterness, actually, which is the heart. It's really sour, that's the liver. So it's sour and bitter. Sour stomach. Bitter thinking. Anger and resentment. So these are all unsettled emotions, not because they're bad emotions, but because they haven't been resolved. They're not allowed to flow freely. And because we feel like we either have to swallow them or we have to explode on someone. So we either have to implode or explode, and that's not the case. What we can do is we can acknowledge them and say, ugh, I feel you, I get you, I understand. Or maybe I feel you, I get you, I have no clue, I don't understand a thing, but I feel you and I get you. And I acknowledge you and I ask, what am I to do with this? I feel you. What am I to do with this? And then just take a breath and breathe into it. Not search for the answer, take a breath and breathe into it and let the answer come to us. So being receptive, allowing ourselves to receive the answer. So tapping into that intuitive guidance in our feminine nature, whether we're male or female, tapping into that intuitive guidance in our feminine nature and allowing ourselves to receive, not having to do anything, but just be, and be in the moment and allowing ourselves to enjoy the moment and savor the moment, coming into that sense of taste, savor the moment and savor the experience of the moment, and then savor the next, breath to breath to breath. And that doesn't mean being continually calm and passive. There's nothing passive about being receptive. It's very vibrant. It's very alive. That means being who we are in every moment, in every emotion, in every experience, and acknowledging every thought. That doesn't mean you take every thought and run with it. It just means we want to acknowledge it. And we just say, yeah, is that true? No, I don't think so. Okay, bye. And let the next one come. So with that, we're going to tap into the sun and the moon, which, by the way, in ancient teachings, the sun used to be feminine and the moon used to be masculine. So that just goes to show you that feminine and masculine is in everything. So it's connecting into that balance, that equilibrium, that ebb and flow of the sun and the moon, of all the elements, and of our blood, the ebb and flow of our own blood. And imagining the blood flowing in our body just like the rivers and the water flow in the earth. With that, it's like all kinds of Celtic energy came in, all kinds of fairy energy came in, all kinds of sprite energy came in, all the nature elements came in, including dolphins and whales. Yay. So that what they're doing is they're saying, we want to represent the animal kingdom. Nice. And the flow. And getting back into the flow. And in quote-unquote reality, dolphins and whales acknowledge that their existence has been, that they have been experiencing pain because of many of our actions and our belief systems, mainly because of our belief systems which create our actions. So they just ask that we trust and tap into the flow and into the breath of life, into the breath of life. And it feels like a question is surfacing. So if somebody wants to verbalize it, go for it. If not, it will be answered. While that person is deciding, we're linking the hypothalamus of the brain to the thalamus. which is the same thing as linking the sun and the moon, actually, just internally. And interesting, it's tapping into, I'm not an astrologer, this has just been work, studies that I've done through Vedic work, and what they're showing me is everybody on the call tonight, what we're doing is we're synchronizing and balancing everybody to their own natal chart and to their own birth in this lifetime. In quantum physics, it's like parallel dimensions going on all the time, and so all possibilities are going on all the time. It just depends on what are we focusing on, which creates our reality. And so what they're saying is, for here and now, today, it's like claiming everybody's divine birthright and tapping and plugging everybody into their own birth this lifetime, here and now, time in, this time and space, and their own natal chart and their own potential, because we're being called more than ever to express our individuality. And yes, our individuality, the message is coming through, is that yes, our individuality maybe sometimes feel very similar to another person's, but it does, but it's not the same because it's individual, because it's coming through us. And we're really, really, really being called to express that individuality that is being called to come through each of us. So each of us on the call right now are being plugged into our natal charts and into our birth in this time-space continuum in this lifetime, which is going to further empower or strengthen the root. And I felt like a fear show up about an image of being root-bound in so much as a lot of people don't want to be connected to their root because they don't have good feelings about their birthplace, and it's not the same thing. We have to be connected to our roots. We have to be connected to our ancestors, because if we're not, then our life flow, our chi, has been cut off. So what we're doing is we're connecting you to, each of us, to our roots, not so that you become root-bound, but so that you can fly. So it's like rooting everybody and giving them wings. Nice. I love that imagery. And now we're going to tap into cycles and rhythms, which is part of the charts, part of the astrological configurations, but also in within the physical body rhythms. We're helping to balance everybody to their unique rhythm, their unique flow, their unique cycle, and then balance and connect that through the root to the earth so that it is in harmony, so that you are in harmony. And again, it doesn't mean that you won't be awkward stepping into your purpose. It just means that you'll be able to. So, ability. Oh, I love this. It's like a magic wand just came in and said, ability granted. I love it. And it feels like I just want to tap that into everybody's cortices. And for those of you who aren't familiar with body talk, that's just basically just tapping it into, and if you know how to do this, please do it in conjunction with this. So tap it all into your cortices. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll do it for you. And then bringing that back into the heart feel like it's like with a smile in our hearts. And we breathe in. So this is how we're actually going to end for tonight. We're going to breathe into this all with a smile in our hearts. And breathing in and out, by the way. Breathing in doesn't mean just breathing in. So tapping head and heart, so tapping into that inner smile in the heart and that connectivity and that ability to connect to our inner resources, ability to connect to one another, our ability to connect to nature and all of the elements, whether it's plants, animals, fairies, elves, whatever, all of the elements, wind, rain, hot, cold, damp, all of those, tapping into all of that in a way that harmonizes us and helps connect you. Each person on the call helps connect you to your inner resources, to your ability to shine, and your ability to step up and stand up. One of my favorite quotes that I've used throughout the years is a Japanese proverb that says, fall 7 times, stand up 8. And what we want to do is help breathe into the ability to stay standing and blend and bend, much like a palm tree or a weeping willow, with the wind so that we don't break. We just bend. Or like the Matrix, bending to miss, bending to literally dodge a bullet. It's just tapping into that ability, that flexibility, that pliability, that agility, that stability, every ability we have. Ooh, integrating it now, connecting it now into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, into our rhythms, into our lives. And that is how we end for tonight.
That was awesome, Debbie. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Deb.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night, and you're welcome.
Thanks, Deb.
Thank
that
you,
was
Debbie.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
thank
you.
You
guys. You're welcome.
Thank
this recording
you.
Will be available by the end of the night or tomorrow at the latest, okay?
Wonderful. Beautiful.
Thank
amazing.
You. Good night. Big
good
kisses,
night.
Debbie. Night.
Thank you. Kisses back.